I wanted to talk legal issues, as we do occasionally here on ABC Radio Brisbane and Queensland on a Saturday. The distancing measures that were enacted as part of the COVID-19 response created lots of challenges for lots of different industries, but definitely including those practicing law. I mean, just think about it. Client meetings suddenly had to be virtual. Courts, I mean, how do you have virtual sessions with judges and hearings on video links, I suppose? How does the community legal sector work when you have to be virtual? Interesting news, though, in the last few days, the state government has passed measures to allow legal practitioners to conduct a range of transactions that would normally have to be face-to-face, allowing them to operate a little bit differently. So what can now be done online, and are there still a few thorny issues or difficult issues or not? Our weekend's regular law experts, Bill Potts, who's the immediate past president of the Queensland Law Society, and Christine Smythe, who's an expert in succession, funeral and cemetery law, join you this morning. Good morning.
Good morning.
So,
Good morning, listeners.
I mentioned the new measures that the state government approved a little earlier this week. What exactly has changed?
Technically, nothing's changed as of yet. The measures that the state government introduced late on the 22nd was a piece of legislation which gave them the power to make changes to various pieces of legislation through regulation. Those regulations have not yet been made. So while they've got the power now to do that, we're still waiting for regulations.
And what are you looking forward to? I mean, what needs to shift in order for the law to be able to operate under these restrictions?
I think we all need to come into the 21st century. Back in 1999, the Commonwealth and state governments enacted a piece of legislation called the Electronic Transactions Act. And that enabled a whole bunch of documents to be able to be exchanged and given authority through electronic means, typically via exchange of computers. However, a number of documents were excluded from that legislation. If for Queensland purposes, they are will were excluded, enduring powers of attorney were excluded, advance health directives, affidavits and the like. So a group of what we would refer to as solemn documents were excluded from that legislation. And what the legislation requires for those documents is that when you are witnessing those documents, you have to be present. And the law at this stage indicates that it requires physical presence. There's some uncertainty around that law, and that is why this particular regulation is really quite important, because you have to be physically present to execute the document. And it's been causing so much of a problem. We've been hearing and reading about some really unusual and weird stories, particularly in America. You typically learn of drive-by executions as being a crime, but we're now having lawyers setting up drive-by will executions in car parks in order that these documents can be properly executed.
As in, people are coming into the car park, handing their will out the window and sort of signing them, co-signing them or something like that.
That's correct. That is correct. And that's entirely unsatisfactory. What we have is we have a very large elderly population in Queensland. Somewhere in the order of about 15% of our population is classified as elderly. And many of those people, in the advent of all the bad news we've been hearing about COVID, I've been looking at updating their documents, updating their wills and their powers of attorney, etc. And so they're seeking for their lawyers to give them advice about that, to draft up the documents, and we can do that all by email and a computer exchange. But what we can't do is witness the documents. And those documents are not valid documents until they're properly executed. If they're not properly executed, such things like powers of attorney, for example, which are very important documents because they apply while you're alive. If you go into hospital and you don't have a valid power of attorney, then the people that you choose, the people that you love, the people that know and care for you and know who you are, cannot make the decisions for you. Someone from the state will make that decision for you. And that is an issue for so many Queenslanders, and it's been an issue since this lockdown occurred. Because
Christine,
what we also have is...
Oh, sorry, you finished that thought. I've just got a question from Diane, who's called in about a similar issue. But sorry, just to finish that thought, Christine.
The thought that I was expressing was that it's not just people who are in hospital that it's affecting. Not everyone in hospital, not everyone who's affected by this virus is in hospital. They're in the general community. And one of the other issues that's occurred is the state government has removed all the JPs from public service. So people are relying more and more on their lawyers to get these documents executed.
Thank you. Diane from Bulamble Heights, what was your question?
Yes, good morning. I'm wanting to know the simplest and easiest way to replace one beneficiary in our will with another, please.
Just swap it over, okay?
Yes.
Is there an easy way to do that, Christine?
There are easy ways and then there are litigious ways. Usually when people say easy, what they're looking for is economic. And the difficulty with the will is if you go and try and change one single part, you could end up in litigation because people raise questions about that. The best way is to get the legal advice around the totality of your estate. And when your affairs change, then you should be going and seeing your lawyer to get distinct advice around the totality of your affairs, because you'll be surprised how one small little change can make an enormous difference to the totality of the will, and it will depend on what the will says.
So you can't just say, I'm of sound mind and I want to switch, Timmy over for, William.
Yes, you could, but you've got to go through the proper process of executing the document, and that's therein lies the problem, is that if you want to simply cross out Timmy and put in Mary, you can do that, but you've got to go through the full execution process again. And by doing that, you're basically redoing the will.
We've been hearing about some of the issues with wills in terms of this new sort of COVID restricted time. Bill Potts, have there been other areas of law that have seen particular challenges at this time?
It's a brave new world for all of us because the courts, as we know, for justice to be done, has to be seen to be done, are now doing things virtually. So what we've seen is a plethora of practice directions from the Supreme District and the Magistrates Court, which is really the engine room of the justice system. So essentially what we're doing is people are appearing by phone, by video hookup when it's available. Defendants more often than not are not appearing or are left in the watch house. And the whole thing is designed to make sure that the wheels of justice still move. However, there are considerable problems, and those problems include, for example, trials that are conducted virtually. We hear problems with the technology dropping out. We've heard of witnesses not having the documents in front of them if they're appearing virtually. And we're seeing the temporary end, or at least the temporary suspension of jury trials. So the courts are trying as hard as they can to ensure that justice is done. But it is, for the foreseeable future, going to be causing all sorts of problems, because people won't be able to see, for example, their accusers clearly. They won't be able to appear in court personally, and we don't know when or indeed if jury trials will return, simply because of the social distancing requirements. So it's a brave new world, but we as lawyers, and not just defendants, but also victims of crime and witnesses, are finding that their cases and their day in courts are being massively delayed simply because of these problems.
So as a legal practitioner, what's the difference between a judge trial and a jury trial? Like, if they're trying to get to the heart of what justice is justice the same regardless?
You'd hope so, but one of the great bulwarks of our freedom, democracy in action effectively, is being judged by your peers. Now, judges, of course, are able to hear, in certain circumstances, trials on their own. And there's arguments that particularly, for example, technical fraud trials and complex matters may in fact be better before a single judge. But most of us take the view that a jury is our neighbours, is our community, and that they have a compendium of goodwill and common sense which they bring to the judgment of their fellow citizens. So it's perhaps not a great practical difference, but it's an important difference, and many people are loath to give up the concept of a jury trial.
Yeah, but that if that means, just say you're held on remand and you are in jail anyway, and if you, is it worth holding on and on for an unknown period of time?
Exactly, and that's one of the decisions that is currently facing. It's got to be obviously by consent generally, but the courts are currently identifying a number of things. Firstly, cases which can be dealt with by judge alone. Secondly, cases where, as you identify, people may remain in custody longer than the sentence which they may receive at the end of a trial if found guilty. So what we're seeing is a whole pile of triaging, that is, practical decisions to ensure that justice is done. As to whether we snap back to the full system at the end is going to be one of the challenges of COVID-19.
On ABC Radio Brisbane and Queensland, Kate O'Toole is my name, and you're hearing from Bill Potts and Christine Smythe, our legal experts today here on the radio, just talking about some of the differences that we've had to face with the restrictions we've seen with COVID-19 and what implications that has had for the law. We have seen, of course, some interesting ideas around tenants and landlord rights during this pandemic and possible, you know, changes or trying to, I guess, figure out a way to respect that idea of not kicking people out in the middle of a pandemic. But of course, on both sides, that creates interesting rights and responsibilities, and whether or not the regulations get things exactly right, I'm not sure. Christine, what have you noticed with this tenants and landlords situation?
I think both sides feel a little aggrieved by the uncertainty, for sure. I think we need to take a rational approach to it, and I think you're quite right. On the one hand, people who are suddenly impoverished by the impact of COVID-19 need some certainty around their accommodation, but similarly so, most investors are mum and pop investors. They're, you know, they're the very same people who themselves could have lost their jobs. So I think at this stage it's difficult for us to make any comment because we don't know what those regulations are going to actually look like until they're made. Hopefully, both sides of the fence will play fair. We will, of course, see some people not playing fair, and that's where the injustice will occur.
On ABC Radio Brisbane and Queensland, just a bit of a legal discussion for you as we do at this time. I was thinking about the kind of transition of the law to deal with things in a virtual way, but then also we've heard of problems of things like people dropping into Zoom meetings and things, and problems with security. How do you deal with those sorts of issues and also privacy when it comes to the legal practice?
It's a really good question because it opens up this whole exploration around what we call the gig economy. Before we even had this issue, the gig economy was alive and well, and people were having meetings in cafes, etc. But for us lawyers, we always question, well, how do you control client confidentiality when you're having it in such an open environment? And that's one of these issues around presence. When you're trying to communicate with a client, how do you ensure that those communications are privileged and private and not being listened to? And that's one of the great challenges that many of the legal profession are facing with these new meetings. What we are trying to aim for is to ensure that people are sitting in a private room, that it's locked off from the rest of the facilities. But not everyone's got those available to them, and there's some of the decisions around whether or not it's practical for you to work from home or work from an office space.
On ABC Radio Brisbane and Queensland, last time you spoke to us, Bill Potts, you talked about concern for disadvantaged or vulnerable people in the community. Has anything resolved for you on that front?
I think lawyers have been doing as best they can through, for example, community legal centres to the Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander Legal Service and the like to ensure that people have resources. And to that end, I should say too, the Queensland State Government has also terrific resources online. The difficulty, of course, is that many of the poor, vulnerable and disadvantaged either don't have access to those sorts of things because of either remoteness or simply not having the technology. So I have concerns, for example, with the social distancing laws around people who find themselves homeless or who suffer mental health issues and may not simply understand what the laws may be. Indeed, it's one of those strange things with the social distancing laws is that instead of just simply having laws which the courts interpret, we now have laws where if a police officer gives you a $1,300 fine for sitting on a beach, or going to buy a pizza, we then have a review process by other police officers to see whether it's fair. And the reason for that is that even the police don't necessarily understand what are laws that are untested, certainly very quickly drafted, and to that extent we are in uncharted waters. But I'm concerned that because we as a society consent to laws, we consent to be governed, we consent to follow laws, but it's difficult when those laws are difficult to understand, are not well expressed and are subject often to enforcement in ways which may not seem logical.
We have certainly seen in places like Sydney many more fines issued in places of lower socioeconomic standing, even though that's not necessarily the extent of where the greatest hotspots have been. So it is interesting to reflect on that, as you say. Are you confident that the oversight that we've got at the moment is sufficient?
I think it is, but again, you know, the police have an enormously difficult job, and we know that, and they deserve the support and the assistance of the broader community. And laws have to be what they call determined as to their purpose. So the purpose here is greater public safety. So the curve is flattened and the disease is not spread. And we as a community understand that. We don't see here the protests that we're seeing over in America at the moment. But what happens is this: if the police lose the respect of the public, if the laws are being effectively either badly administered or enforced in a capricious or uneven manner, then the very people who we charge with keeping the peace lose respect. So my concern is that, yes, there are checks and balances, but at the present moment, these are laws which are broadly misunderstood because they haven't been explained fully, and secondly, haven't been tested in the court. If people are fined $1,300, it may be effectively hardly worthwhile for them to try and defend that in the court. So we have a situation where there is a lot of order, but not too much law.
I wonder if there's anything that could be reshaping Australia's legal system for the better, though, in this time. Christine, is there anything that you think we should hang on to?
I think we need to be careful not to rush into any decision around these laws until we've had a little bit more time to think about them. There is a decision out of New South Wales that points to a concern for me, and that involves people who lack capacity. This particular decision involved a person in Sydney who was deemed to have lacked capacity and was under the guardianship of the New South Wales equivalent of the public trustee and guardian in New South Wales. And they brought an application and were granted an amendment to their order allowing them to direct the police or the ambulance officers to take charge of this particular individual. And the reason for that is that this individual's carers withdrew their caring support because they were concerned around this individual's inability to understand the social distancing laws. Now, I'm troubled by the whole process involved in having for that decision to come to court, because if we've got a state government or state governments that are charged with the care of people who lack capacity, those governments hold a responsibility to ensure that those individuals are provided the necessary care. So applications like that, that one we saw in Sydney, aren't necessary. And that's a concern for me.
Bill Potts, anything that you think could help reshape the legal system for the better?
I think two things are coming from this. I mean, we talk about the Aussie spirit, and I think that one of the great truths that's come from this is that we as a community have recognised the danger and have come together mostly although there have been some outbreaks of stupidity, if I can put it that way, to effectively behave in ways which support the greater good. And I think that's a terrific thing. I think in terms of the changes that will affect the legal system, what we're seeing is the government's trying to play catch-up with as the circumstances have changed almost by the week. And of course, they also have the same problems with social distancing. So I think we're going to be seeing in the future not just merely virtual courts, but also perhaps virtual parliaments. Even what we're doing today on radio is done from different locations. So I think the use of technologies is going to significantly change the way in which both business, government and justice will be done.
Thank you so much for joining us today. Appreciate it.
Anytime.
Thank you.
My thanks as always to our resident weekend legal eagles here on ABC Radio, lawyers Bill Potts and Christine Smythe. And of course, this has all been advice and information of a general nature. If you have a specific legal issue, you will need to seek out appropriate legal counsel of your own.